All right, take your Bible, if you will, this evening. I want you to turn to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. James chapter 1. I want you to find verse number 13. James chapter 1, verse number 13. And once you find it, why don't you stand with me? We're going to read a couple of verses. I'll read them out loud, and then we'll refer to verses, of course, throughout the night. James chapter 1. Starting with verse number 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." I want you to notice there, it says, "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." If you look this way, This is destructive behavior number 29. We're going to talk about the subject of evil. I allude to this every once in a while. I'll mention sin and evil. I have to tell you, I am so glad that early in my Christian life, I was taught the difference between sin and evil. And I am so glad that I have, on purpose, avoided evil. Now, I avoid sin all I can. But I'm telling you, evil, I work double hard to stay away from evil. And I wish everybody here tonight would be able to learn what I'm about to teach you, and on purpose, for the rest of your life, make sure that you run extra hard the opposite direction of evil. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and do something supernatural in this place. God, I take church seriously. I take the teaching of the Bible seriously, but not as serious as you. Oh, Holy Spirit, please help every child, every teenager, every adult. May all of us learn the lesson from the Word of God tonight. And might we not just become educated, but might we obey and take the caution and be careful from this night on about this subject, this destructive behavior called evil. Bless us now and do a work in our midst, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice, it used these words. It says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Folks, we will all sin. We cannot live above sin, although we should try. I don't think you should say, "Well, we're all going to be sinners. There's not much I can do about it. It's okay if I sin." That's the wrong attitude. And we're not going to keep ourselves from sinning, but we ought to want to keep ourselves from sinning. But there's one thing that we can do, though. We might not be able to live above sin, but I think we can prevent our sin from becoming evil in our lives. And there is a difference. Now, the lesson will start out very, very simply. And listen very carefully. Sin and evil are not the same. Evil is sin. And sin is not always evil. Sin means to miss the mark. Some of you have shot a gun. Maybe shot a bow. Maybe you've pitched a baseball. Well, you pitched that baseball right down the center of a home base, and it hits that catcher's mitt. If they call a strike, you've hit the mark. If they call a ball, you've missed the mark. So sin means to miss the mark. Evil is to use sin and then injure others as a result of that sin. Sin is an individual act of doing wrong. Evil is to bring harm upon another individual. Sin might be what you do to you. Evil is what you do to you, and then you end up hurting other people along with it. I think smoking a cigarette, we'll say, is sin. But selling and promoting them to others, then that becomes an evil. I think drinking liquor would be a sin. But selling and promoting liquor, trying to get others to drink with you, now that's become evil. I think criticizing someone is sin. But forming an alliance to slander and hurt someone, now that's evil. Revenge is evil. Revenge falls in the evil category. Why? Because you had something in your heart that would have hurt you, but now you're going to practice revenge and hurt someone. That is evil. In the day of Nehemiah, they were trying to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. If you read Nehemiah chapter 6, you would find out there were two men back then. Their names were Sanballat and Tobiah. Those two men formed an alliance to try to destroy Nehemiah and try to destroy the rebuilding of that wall. So there's people trying to rebuild a wall, and it said they were very determined to rebuild that wall. They had a trowel in one hand, in other words, a tool used to spread mortar or cement, and they were trying to build the wall with the mortar and cement, and they used their cement tool in one hand. They had a sword in another hand. Why? The enemy was trying to destroy them while they were building something for God. You see, when Sanballat and Tobiah said, we're going to try to destroy Nehemiah, and we're going to try to destroy the building of that wall, it was not only sin, it was evil, because they were trying to hurt other people. Now, you remember the story of Joseph's brothers, you know, the coat of many colors, and Joseph, and remember when his brothers had sold him into slavery? Understand, Joseph's brothers conspired to kill Joseph. When his brothers got together and said, we'll get you, we'll lie to dad, we're going to sell you as a slave, we're going to take your coat, we're going to dip it in animal blood and go tell dad that you got mauled by an animal and you're gone. You see, when they conspired and got together and decided to hurt their own brother, that was evil. That was evil. Some Jews very negatively stirred up trouble to try to hurt Paul in the New Testament, and it was an evil act. Listen to this. I'll read to you from Acts chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. It says, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected among the brethren, or amongst the brethren. In other words, look, if I thought something bad about Martha, as long as I kept that in my brain, I am sinning with that thought. But wait a minute, if I take that thought and I go to Mrs. Young and she and I talk bad about Martha, now it's become evil, because that sin that was in my brain is now affecting somebody else, and we're conspiring now to hurt Martha. And God said, I don't want you to hurt you, and I don't want you to sin, but whatever you do, don't you let that sin start hurting other people. God doesn't want that chain reaction. God does not want other people hurt. The Bible actually says, stay out of the path, stay out of the area, stay away from the influence of evil people. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 4:14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Let me explain something to you. I think you should be careful going out to eat with people that just freely sin and don't care. But I want to double dog warn you. I wouldn't be going out to eat with evil people. Evil people are dangerous people. If you heard, the Bible says God will not be tempted with evil. God, this thing of evil, it's pretty bad on God's list of things that He does. He hates. He hates evil. And the Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. I have to tell you, when I get around people who are evil, they're behaving evil, or are known for being evil, I get the heebie-jeebies. I do. It just sets me on edge. For me, spiritually, getting around evil people, you ever had someone take their fingernails and go on an old-fashioned slate chalkboard and scrape it, and you go, oh, that's how I feel spiritually when I get around evil people. God said, don't follow after evil people. Stay out of their path. Don't get around their influence. 3 John, verse 11 says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. Now, what Satan wants to do, Satan has the uncanny ability to influence you and I to where our sin can turn into evil. It starts out and it's something in my brain. It starts out and it's something I was thinking. It starts out, it was something that I was doing. But if you're not careful, Satan tries to get you to get others in on it, whether it be the criticism or whatever the sin is. See, Satan's ultimate goal is not just to get you to sin. Satan's ultimate goal is he would like for you to sin, then he wants you to get others in on it. He wants you to pull other people into it. He wants you to conspire to hurt somebody else. God can, if we'll let him, he can help us not to become evil. God, he mentions that. Listen to this verse. Psalm 121, verse 7 says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from all evil." You say, how in the world would God help keep me from evil? Well, God could give you a pastor that loves you enough to stand up and say to you, you better stay away from evil. God doesn't want you to be around evil. Now, let me give you some stories from the Bible. And I want you to see that there's a difference in sin and evil. You'll see that as I tell these stories. You'll see some applications, some principles that will help you. I would love at the end of the night for you to have a understanding and a reverence for the Scripture. And I wish everybody in here would say, you know what? I don't want to sin. I'm going to work hard at not sinning. God help me, I never want to be seen by God as evil. I never want to be seen by the brethren as evil. Let me show you some stories from the Bible that will help us to understand this thing. A very destructive behavior, this behavior called evil. Number one, Satan wanted Adam and Eve to do evil, not just to sin. Genesis 3:5, listen to what it says. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Didn't say good and sin. Said good and evil. And there's a difference. See, Satan is evil. Satan is the epitome of evil. He's all about hurting everybody else. He's all about, it's not, hey, you do realize that Satan was in heaven at one point, an archangel of God, and God had to cast him out, Isaiah chapter number 14. But what did he do? Did he get cast out on his own? No, he took a third of heaven down with him. He was the epitome of evil. And he has always been about, Satan's always been, I will do wrong, but I will get others to do it with me. And folks, if you want to do wrong, you go ahead and do wrong. I don't want you to. The last thing you ought to do is ever, ever influence somebody else to do wrong. You shouldn't want that. That is so self-centered. That is so conceited. By the way, that's so evil. Evil. It's a good word for it, isn't it? Evil. Satan hurt Adam and Eve and all of mankind intentionally. He did it on purpose. He knew what he was doing. Notice it's not the tree of the knowledge of good and sin. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evil was one of the causes of the fall of all mankind. Evil was the opposite of good. Notice sin was not the opposite of good. Evil. That knowledge was a good knowledge. Now look. Look at all the pain and all the human suffering and for the whole human race and how much they have suffered because Adam and Eve trusted Satan and evil came to the human race. I'll tell you, there are some times when the devil probably works a little harder to get evil spreading. He worked pretty hard at the beginning of the human race to get evil in there. Because it was at the beginning of something. You say, why? Well, if he can dilute the beginning of something, if he can take the beginning stages of something and hit it real hard, he's more apt to get his way. He's more apt to make an impact. I think this. You take a spring program or a fall program, and that's where big attendance drive. Or you take we have a conference where we're trying to help a lot of people. It's uncanny. I'm gonna promise you something. You plan a program to help a lot of people, and the devil says, "I want to hit them. I want to hit them hard." He is very good at trying to stir up evil at the beginning of something big for God. I've been involved in nationwide youth conferences and ladies conferences and educator conferences and pastors conferences. It was almost a joke among all the men when we would do all these conferences. About a month and a half before time for the big conference to start, everybody's putting on their armor. We're all getting ready because we know the devil's, he tries to get evil conjured up right before something big is about to happen. Right before something, hey, we're about to help a lot of people, and evil is when somebody goes to hurting a lot of people. So the devil, he goes the exact opposite. You're going to intensify and go do a whole bunch of good for somebody, then I'm going to try to get somebody to do some bad and influence as many people as I can. And so Satan wanted Adam and Eve not just to sin. He wanted them to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Secondly, Satan had convinced the people of Noah's day to not just sin, but to do evil. Let me prove it to you. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually." It wasn't just sin, it was evil. And so you all know, I believe that is what angered God. I think if somebody in Noah's day wanted to sin and they wanted to go behind the barn and do something stupid, God wouldn't have liked it, but I'm not sure it would have brought the wrath of God like was brought upon the earth. But these people had become evil. They were influencing a bunch of people to go behind the barn and do something bad. I think evil caused the flood. Not just sin. They sinned, but they pulled others into it, and they made the world a mess. They were marrying out of God's will. Oh, but it wasn't just a couple of people that married out of God's will. They were getting everybody to marry out of God's will. They were living wickedly. The Bible says the wickedness in the earth was multiplied greatly. But it wasn't just one guy that was living wickedly. It was one guy living wickedly and trying to get all of his buddies in the youth department to live wickedly as well. And there wasn't just one woman that was living wickedly. She was trying to influence everybody she could to be like her, and so she was influencing others. Noah had preached righteousness, but they had rejected it. And so you know, the rejection was condoned by people, and they all were pulling groups of people away from Noah and away from God. That's evil. You say, why in the world would God destroy the whole human race? They had become evil. Evil. You say, what did God do? He said, I'm bringing this to an end. City that was destroyed in the Old Testament with fire and brimstone. Why? It had become evil. It was not an individual sin. It was an individual affecting everybody possible to commit the same sin. And God said, that is so evil, I've got to stop that. That's got to be stopped. You see, I think the Bible clearly teaches that Satan wanted Adam and Eve to do more than sin. Satan wanted them to get involved in evil. He wanted to affect them with evil. Satan, secondly, had convinced the people of Noah's day not just to sin, but to be evil. Now, let me give you another story. Satan took David's sin and convinced him to develop it into evil. So the great David, he messes up pretty bad. I'll tell you a little bit of the story in a moment. Let me read to you from Psalm chapter 51, verse number 4. The Bible says, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and this is David speaking, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Now, let me explain. Notice it said, David said, I sinned, and then he said, but worse than that, I did evil. And he mentions them both. You see, in a moment of passion, David sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba. He sinned. As we all know, David's men were out at war. David was at home. He went to his rooftop. While on his rooftop, he looked across the way. There was a woman that had unclothed herself, and she was sunbathing. Her name was Bathsheba. I really don't think she should have been out there naked myself. But he looked over. He lusted after her. He took her to himself. And in a moment of passion, in a moment in the flesh, anybody could do anything. But it didn't stop there, see. He committed the sin, and that's that to which he referred in Psalm 51:4. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. Then he goes on to say, and done evil in thy sight. And so he sinned with Bathsheba. But you know what he did then? David, after committing adultery with Bathsheba, he decides, you know what? I'm going to hurt Uriah. You say, who was Uriah? Uriah was Bathsheba's husband. And so he then conspires and figures out a way to have Uriah killed. You know what that was called? Evil. That was evil. Now he's conspiring, and he gets some other people in on it, and he manipulates those people. And the next thing you know, good Uriah is dead because of David. See, Satan took David's sin, and then David ends up developing that sin into evil acts. Now, and to be honest, David does the evil to cover his own sin. You know, I've watched this. Evil people sometimes launch an attack on somebody else when the evil person is the one that's trying to cover something up. I've watched it happen time and time again. Let me tell you, by the way, when you get to the point that you want to hurt someone else when you are wrong, that's very evil. And that's what David had done. David did wrong. In an effort to cover up his wrong, he became evil and had an innocent man slaughtered so he could cover his own tracks. But, as you can see, David's sin became evil. The sin of somebody in the day of Noah became evil. Satan was out not only to get Adam and Eve to do wrong, but he wanted an evil act to spread across the world. And indeed, it did. Now, let me explain something to you. I think churches are to tolerate and help and love sinners. But I think God tells churches they need to be very careful of having a toleration of evil. Of evil. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now remember, there's a difference in sin and evil. In our church, look, if somebody does something that's sinful, we want to help you. We want to get you back up on your feet. Now, we don't condone it. We're not saying it's okay. Sin's wrong. Stop it. Don't do it. But when someone becomes evil, God said, oh, retract yourself from that. You don't want to be around that. That's where someone on purpose is drawing others in to their wrong. This is it's an on purpose conspiring. It's influencing and it's pulling others in. In this passage of scripture that we just read from Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it mentions the stars. It says, these things say he that holdeth the seven stars. Stars are the preachers. That's who that refers to. And then it says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. The word bear there means hold up. This church knew it would not hold up or last if evil people were running wild in the church. See, you do something dumb, you sin, we want you to fix it. But and we'll love you and we'll help you. But I'll tell you something. You become evil. Hey, teenager, you go smoke dope and you do it and we'll try to help you. You start influencing my other teenagers, you're in trouble with me. You have no right to influence other people in the church to do wrong. Now, we'll try to help you with your sin. We'll love you. We'll be patient with you. But let me warn you, you become evil. Now, you start drawing other people into the junk of the world. Now you got a problem with the pastor. You say, why? I'll love you and help you, but I have an obligation and responsibility. I got to protect everybody else. I can't let evil run wild. Now, we don't want sin to run wild. But I'm just telling you, that this thing of evil, it's a dangerous thing. We're to love the sinner. We're to help the sinner. We're to teach the sinner. We're to be as kind as we can to the sinner. But nowhere in the Bible does it say, be all lovey-dovey with the evil people. And remember, if you want to hurt you, go ahead. I wish you wouldn't. I think it's dumb. And if you're doing something dumb, your pastor loves you, and I'll try to help you. But let me tell you, don't start hurting other people. Hey, sir, you're going to look at pornography? I don't think you should. I think it's wicked. I think it's vile. I think it's sinful. If you're going to do it, keep it to yourself. Don't you start inviting the other men of my church over to look at that junk. You say, what are you going to do? I'll say something about it if I find out. You say, why? We're not to tolerate evil. Now, I'll be honest, I don't want to tolerate sin, but I have to. You say, why? Because I'm a sinner. It includes me too. See, you and I will sin. All of us are going to make mistakes and fall short and miss the mark, and we're going to sin. We're sinners. But we don't have to be evil. You deal with a flesh that makes you a sinner. You're never going to get rid of all that till we get to heaven. But there is a strength and a power that is available to you. You might sin, but you do not have to be evil. When you've become evil, that's your choice. And you can have power over that. So, and let me tell you this. There's a pastor. What's he supposed to do? Now, I'm to love you, and I don't want you to become evil because I love you. Brother Pine, I'd never want you to become evil. I love you. I'm your friend. So I'd want to protect him so he never became evil. Why? Because I love him. But wait a minute. I love the other people in the church too. And if I love them, I'd want to protect them if he ever did become evil. That's the obligation of a pastor. That's what he's supposed to do. Not obligation, but also responsibility. And to be honest, I think it's an honor to be able to love people and try to help them. God praises the church at Ephesus for refusing to tolerate evil in her ranks. You know, listen, somebody in the church does something that's dumb, stupid, they commit a sin. And, you know, so we try to help them. We want to be as good to them as we can. Now, there might even be a little time of separation. If they're going to keep sinning themselves, we just got to be careful what we do. But let me tell you, if you see evil in the church, if you know somebody, hey, if somebody pulls you aside and tries to get to assassinate somebody else's character and starts attacking them, if I were you, I'd say, don't talk to me. I'd walk away. I'd get away from them. I would run from it. Do you know that one of the greatest men in the Bible is Job? Let me read to you from Job chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz. Where's the land of Uz? Reminds me of the land of Oz. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. Wow. Perfect and upright. That feared God. Wow. This guy's got it together. Perfect, upright, fears God. What other credentials did he have? And eschewed evil. You know what that means? Hated it. Hated it. Now, I hate sin, but I double dog hate evil. Because if you want to hurt you, okay, I don't want you to. But if you want to pull other people into it, now that's where we put our foot down and say, no, we can't let that happen. the church is a place of protection. It's a place where people ought to be safe. And so we as a church are to shun evil. And if the church doesn't, I will. I will. But we all ought to be that way. We all ought to say, you know, if somebody wants to do wrong, okay. Now, we don't want them to, but the last thing we want is for them to begin to conspire to hurt others and start pulling others into it. And what happens is they conspire and they do it, and then they get others involved. And if you're not careful, before long, you got a pack of them running around, hurting people, pulling people down. And God's against it. And so this destructive behavior called evil, Satan wanted Adam and Eve to do evil, not just to sin. Satan convinced the people of Noah's day not just to sin, but to do evil. Satan took David's sin and developed it into evil. Churches are to help the sinner, but we are to eschew, or we are to hate evil. Let me tell everybody here, in regard to our children, our children, especially our teenagers, Satan wants them to hate evil. Young people, you need to learn to hate evil. Again, it's one thing when our children sin, but boy, it's far bigger when they become evil. When a young person hurts themselves, it's one thing, but when they draw others into it, it's double bad. Evil, that means this, parents, I think that if your child sins, then there is discipline in order. I think if your child does evil, then the discipline ought to be increased. Someday we'll have a Christian school here, and I will make sure that the rules in the Christian school are indicative of the Scripture. If you do wrong, then you will be disciplined for doing wrong. If you pull other people into your wrong, and you become evil, the discipline will be increased. You say, why? Well, God didn't want the people in Noah's day to sin. But I'll tell you what, when it went from sin to evil, God said, that's it, I've had it. I'm cleaning this up. I'm not going to have it. Young people who would join together or hurt other young people, whether in reputation, boy, that's dangerous. So in child rearing, could I say to all the parents, when your kids sin, correct them, fix it. But if it becomes evil, hey, let me warn you. Brothers, you older brothers, you ought to be a good example to your little brother. You should never lead your little brother into doing wrong. You older girls, sisters, if you will, the older siblings, you ought to be leading your younger brothers and sisters to do right. But if you're going to do wrong, you should never pull your younger brothers and sisters into it. It goes from being a sinful act committed by you to an evil act where you pull others into it. I think older brothers and sisters ought to be spiritual heroes to their younger brothers and sisters, not the downfall of them. Let's teach our young people while they're young. And again, this is only, this seems to me it's only fair. If you want to do wrong, then you go do it by yourself. Why would you ever want someone else to do wrong with you? Part of child training is teaching our children to avoid evil. Let me give you a couple of verses. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Notice the way. And the way he should go. Now, let me give you another verse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. At 14 it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Now notice, we're to train up our children in the way they're to go. Now God tells us of a way we're not to go. He said, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Teach your kids not to sin. Double teach your kids not to pull other people in, not to ever go around attacking other people and trying to hurt other people. You see, that's the way of evil men. So, we're not to enter that path. We're not to go into the way of evil. So, I think one of the things in child rearing, where we would do our children a great service, is not only should we teach them to stay away from sin, we should also add to it that we should keep them away from evil, their own evil behavior, but not only their own evil behavior, staying away from people that are acting or behaving in an evil way. Children, if you're trying to live for the Lord and you get around somebody and they try to entice you to do wrong, you run. You run. You run as fast as you can away from them. In our youth department, some of you young people, you think you're pretty slick. Your pastor sees right through you. I know who the influential people are in our youth department. I know the ones that misbehave. I'm going to tell you something. New people come to this church and you're a misbehavior. You start drawing new people into the mess at your house or the mess of your music or the mess of your language or the mess of what you do on your phone. Your pastor sees right through you. Young people, you stay away from folks. Hey, if there's a young person in the youth department and they're contrary to what Brother Elswick is teaching and contrary to what you're learning in Sunday school and contrary to what your pastor preaches, they're a rebel, they're wrong, it's a very wrong thing. Now, if they want to do that to themselves, that's their prerogative, although, and those of you laughing at me right now, you're painting a terrible picture of yourself. I just look this way and fake your way through this service. It'd be best. But new people, young people come to our church and they're trying to learn to serve the Lord and you start pulling them into wrong. That's wicked. That's evil. And it should never be that way. And so, I'm not out to hurt anybody, but it is my obligation to say if somebody starts pulling others into wrong, that causes a problem. And every parent here, I don't know of any of our parents that would ever want their kids to pull somebody else into wrong. I think all of our parents are on board. I don't think any parent is going to say, well, I disagree, Pastor. No, I think all our parents agree. But I'm telling you, young people, you be careful. Don't you start pulling other people away from God. And it's not very hard to tell when a young person's misbehaving. Now, remember, you say, well, preacher, what's the reasoning behind this Satan's ultimate goal being evil? Why is that his goal? Well, first of all, it's easy. Satan, evil, hurts others. I mean, Satan's all about hurting others. Not only that, the evil person is a recruiter. They don't only hurt themselves, they start recruiting people into the evil. That means evil builds the devil's workforce. Look this way. There's a young man, I'm going to call you down. You're not going to like it. You look this way. Evil builds the devil's workforce. Did you know something? You know, evil multiplies faster than sin. Evil multiplies faster than sin. Why? You got a workforce. Evil spreads fast. The devil says, I like that quick spreading bad stuff. I want to hurt as many as I can, as fast as I can. And that's one of the reasons why that's the devil's goal. Now, let me take about 4 or 5 minutes more, and I'm going to make an observation about when is evil more apt to occur? When is it more apt to occur? I think there are times when evil's a little more prominent than others. First of all, when something is being built for God. If something's truly being built for God, the devil wants to use his big guns, which is not sin, it's evil, because he would like to stop the building. You take the story of Nehemiah and the building of the wall. Hey, your family. Just some of you, you're working pretty hard at growing a family to serve God. Well, you be sure if you're building something for God, then evil is going to try to slow that down. So, when is evil more apt to occur? When you're building something for God. Number two, when something's at its beginning. And you say, why? Because the devil would like to hit it and kind of knock it let it lose its momentum. It wants to hit it right at the beginning. And so when something is about to start, something good is about to start. I've seen it over and over again. You go to start something good, and boy, the devil, he doesn't want to just hit it with sin. He wants to hit it with evil because he wants to slow it down. He wants it to have a faulty start. Okay, you say, like what? Like the human race? Something big was about to start. And what happened? The devil said, we're going after the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want to hit this thing right now, and I don't want it to have a thorough start. The devil hated God, and God wanted people to be created in His likeness and in His image so that they would spend an eternity in heaven praising Him. The devil said, I got to stop all that I can, and the best place to attack it is at its beginning. So, when something's being built for God, the devil goes after it. When something is about to start for God, I'll tell you, there are people in here you've had to do with the starting of churches and starting of ministries and stuff. Sometimes it is so hard to start something new. You say, why? Well, I'll tell you why. The devil works double hard at the start of anything. He likes to slow it down. So, when else? What are some other times when evil is more apt to occur? Well, I think when there is jealousy in the Lord's work, when jealousy arises in the Lord's work, and many times that's position seekers or opportunity seekers. You remember the story of Joseph and his brothers. You see, Joseph and his brothers, they sinned in their brain in their jealousy against Joseph, but it then turned evil, and they conspired to destroy him. And they not only hurt him, they hurt a lot of other people. So may I recommend to you, jealousy quickly becomes evil. If you begin to act on that jealousy, you'll start attacking someone. People that are jealous, they go after usually the object of their jealousy. Somebody gets a position you want, you become jealous, so now you want to attack them, you want to minimize them, and you begin to conspire to hurt somebody else. So, when something's being built for God, evil is often there. When something is about to start for God, a good thing, evil comes in. When jealousy is present, evil comes in. I think then, evil comes when you have known sin in your life and you won't get rid of it. If you have known sin in your life and you won't get rid of it, I think the devil says this is a prime candidate for evil. They've got the sin. They want the sin. They're keeping the sin. They're not getting rid of the sin. Well, I could develop this into evil. Because I believe evil comes from sin. And so if you got known sin and you say, I'm satisfied with it, I'm leaving it there, I'm not taking it, okay. It's a sin if you do not tithe. That's a sin. But if you say, I'm not going to tithe, that's how it's going to be, you're a prime candidate to find somebody else and talk to them about the fact that they don't need to tithe either. You will justify you're not tithing. When somebody finds you and they say, what do you think about tithing? You're going to say, well, I'm not going to do it. Now you've got two people that are in cahoots over that because you had known sin and you weren't willing to take it out of your life. So remember, a known, ongoing sin. Okay, if there are young people in our church right now misbehaving, maybe let's take looking at things with their telephones on the internet that they shouldn't. It started with one who said, I'm not taking this sin out of my life. Then they found someone that would agree with it, and they pulled them in. Now you've got two. Then before long, they'll find somebody else, a brother. Then you've got three. Then you can have four. Hey, and then they've got a little clique where they're all in disagreement, and they're rebellious, and turn their nose up, and laugh and mock when the preacher says something about it. It's a sad thing. Evil multiplies. Yes, sir. Evil spreads. So, when is evil more apt to happen? When something is being built for God, when something's about to start for God, when jealousy is present, and when known sin is present, it is the springboard into evil behavior. And I suppose evil often comes if a pastor's courageous enough to stand up and to smite evil. Say, why? You smite evil, then the evil people are going to say, well, I'll get you. You pointed out my sin. I'll see if I can do something to you. I'll get somebody to agree. But that's just the price you pay if you're going to tell the truth. So, destructive behavior number 29. Evil. And remember, sin and evil are not the same. Evil is sin. Sin is not always evil. Sin means to miss the mark. Evil is when we go from sin into injuring or hurting others. And often it's a conspiring to destroy someone's reputation or to destroy something of somebody else's. And God said, stay away from evil. The Bible talks about let us not go into temptation. Boy, if you look through the Bible, the word evil is used in a very specific way. I don't want to sin. I really don't want to become evil. I have to tell you, let me tell you something that you all need to be careful of. If anybody ever becomes evil toward you, the greatest temptation is this, to become evil back. I have had evil come against me time and time again. The greatest self-control, spirit control that I've ever had to exercise is I'm thinking, man, what I could do to you. And there's a part of me that wants to say, I could come after you. You do know that, don't you? But I've always had to protect myself so that when evil comes at me, that I don't become evil with evil. Be careful. It's a dangerous thing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here and you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. I think most everybody here gives testimony that you've trusted Christ. But if you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. To everybody in the congregation, look at sin. Don't do it. Take a double look at evil. Don't be around it. Don't participate in it. Don't let it affect you. Oh my, run from it. If you walk away tonight mocking the pastor because of what he taught, I would guess you've entered into the realm of evil. Be careful. Oh, be careful. My head is bowed, my eyes are closed. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I have been challenged and I want to heed the warning. I want to heed the warning. I do not want evil in my life or I do not want to be around it. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. And let me say something. If you would not raise your hand, you would not, you are in danger. If you consciously sat there and said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what was taught. Then you're heading for evil. Evil is when God comes, and it can be pretty destructive. So be very, very careful with it. We're going to have a time of altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you ought to come pray for someone. Maybe you ought to come pray for yourself. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. It's pretty clear. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Evil. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And David said, against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Said to the church at Ephesus, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Evil. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Evil. Evil. There's a difference in sin and evil. I don't want anyone to sin. And in a double challenge, let me say to you, stay away from evil. Stay away from evil. Just keep playing for just a moment, Rachel.